Fridays, you know, I've got some guys that come over on Black Fridays.
And
Eric and I are the old people in the room. So these guys are, they're scientists. They're just a younger generation, right? And it's fun to listen to Adam and Blake and Caleb. And they throw out like these deep topics half the time. And they all are searchers. They listen to podcasts and they dig into this writer and that writer, which are names usually I don't know, by the way. But it's just fun. Friday was like a, you could tell, I think it was maybe frustrating a couple of them as I responded to a couple comments. But I told Eric this morning, I said, it's fun, all these fun conversations in our house this weekend, Darla and I. I tell you, there's great two questions. Keep asking yourself those things. Who is he? Who does he say I am? Right? And then there's the part three, once you get those, it's like, now we go do life, right? now what do I do with this? And sometimes this thing about our assignment or our mission, sometimes we get maybe confused about it, or I don't know what to do with it. Part of that thing I said about, it's good that I go because, you're gonna like this because my presence is gonna be right here. But if you're still like, where did he go? Or you're looking out here, we kind of forget, like, wait a second, right here. I'm learning to process right here, his presence inside of me. What is that? What does that empower me? How does that enable me? And so it's like, what do I do with that? Sometimes, like if you go read the Hebrew, you know, Hebrews, it's like, there's this challenge, like some of them are stuck. In fact, it says they haven't entered in yet because they're still hanging out at the gate, so to speak. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews says, you know, you should be past this by now. But I was thinking about when I said yes to Jesus. I grew up in the church. I grew up with my mom and dad doing family devotions in the front room. I grew up with praying around the dining room table and talking about the Lord at the table. And if there was a Sunday school going on, we went. If there was an evening thing going on, we went. If there was a revival service, we went. Right? So you would think,
I would think you get it by now.
You would think I get it. And yet, here I am as a young man. I find myself saying yes to Jesus. I remember the service I'm in with my parents. I'm sitting with them, and I'm crying. I am like crying. And my mom said, "Are you okay?" I said, "I need to go up there." I was like, I want this. And this thing about, so what, you know what I feel? I'm a girl. I'm like, I felt so loved. I felt known. I wasn't there going, I suck. I was like, he wants to be with me. He wants to connect with me. I mean, I just remember being overwhelmed by. And I remember going up to the pastor. We had altar calls, you know, and say, like, why are you here? And say, I want him. I love him. And I wasn't thinking about how jacked I was. I wasn't thinking about, man, I really messed up my life. I wasn't under condemnation or guilt. I wanted him. As time went on and my life would walk with him, he said, you'd think I'd get it by now, but every season I find myself getting more. I find myself like, oh, I have these aha, like, it just kind of messes with your heart again, and sometimes I find myself on the floor again. Or sometimes I find myself crying again. And I think what's happening is like, I heard the stories about Jesus. I heard the Bible stories of Moses and David. I heard that all of a sudden, Father, you're like, you're awake. Your heart's waking up to Father. Your spirit's connecting. And there was never, like, you know, rubbing the nose in the poo. God never shamed me or guilted me. It's like, I could sit here and just say, all these encounters, it's like something, it's like the Grinch's heart, you know, just kept growing. And you're like, it's like expanding with this awareness of Father. And this thing about what's happening, what am I experiencing? Like, because sometimes if you go in churches, you think, oh wait, like, I've been told before, I don't talk enough about sin.
About what?
Sin.
Sin.
I don't talk about the bad stuff. You know, hey, be careful. It's like, here's the great thing as you grow up and you start, wow, he's Father, you're like, hey, God doesn't count our sins against us.
So what?
God doesn't count our sins against us. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us this message of reconciliation. I thought, wow, this is remarkable. You would think that's pretty clear, right? Somehow we still obsess over, but what about my dad's stuff? What about my failures? What about the things that I've messed up with? Oh, by the way, it's love for me to sit here and tell you about yours. Your bad stuff. I should remind you about your bad stuff, right? And so these encounters I've ever had, you know, boy, so many. But every encounter you're like, what am I encountering? Love. You're having this, I think that's why you can't stand in his presence. I think that's why you can't look at his face. I think that's why the elders around the throne are going, falling down, holy. It's like, you've got this unimaginable, unexplainable, I can't put words to it, love, going, this shockwave of love hitting you, and your body goes, what? And it wrecks you. In First Corinthians 13, you all remember that's the love chapter, right? It's always fun. I tell people, just take out the word love and put in God. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. He does not boast. God's not proud. God does not dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. God keeps no records of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but he rejoices with the truth. God always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. He always perseveres. I read that on the NIV. Verse 5, it says again, love doesn't traffic in shame. That's in a Passion Translation, actually. I saw that one. Love doesn't traffic in shame.
Oh, that is a good one.
Right? The true character of God, not this religious nonsense we make up about him, the true character of God, right? And if you want to know what God looks like, he looks like Jesus. He looks like Jesus. And Jesus looks like love. That was kind of the heart of our conversation Friday. It's like, you threw up by the way, you're gonna have verses you read in the Bible and go, I don't get it. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. In fact, that looks counter to God. Doesn't look like God you just said, talked about. I don't get it. So my best answer is, I don't get it either. But I know he's love, and And I tell people, when you're reading scripture, you can, yes, get your commentaries out. Yes, get your Hebrew and your Greek translation this, and go get your favorite this or that. Put them together. But always bring to the table Jesus. Because Jesus, it's like, how do I interpret this, Jesus? How do I make sense of it, Jesus? But Jesus, don't take Jesus out of your equation. It's like, it's the glasses I look at it through. And when you get mystery, you go, well, mystery is then, right? But because I think sometimes we go like this, take Jesus, set him aside. And we go, okay, therefore it means this. It's like, no, God just said, I look like Jesus. Until Jesus came, you guys missed me. You didn't know who I was. John 16 tells us that. It's like, I came to reveal the Father. That's why I came. Because until you didn't see him until you saw me, right? Hebrews 10:17 says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. God, it's not remembering, not hanging out with, not considering your sins, right? So why are we? It shouldn't get any headspace, right? Because when we personally encounter him, that's not the conversation. That's not wanting to have a conversation about your sin. I think sometimes, some reasons we like to go into our logic or go down those paths of, I know Jesus, but it's kind of a form of hiding. It's like, it's easy. You know, I asked one of the guys Friday, I said, where does the supernatural fit in? Miracles, where's that fit? Where's these crazy things that God does? Where's that fit in my little logic puzzle up here? I'm trying to create a little equation. God, this is it. I get it now. And the guy said to me, I don't know. And it was a kind word. It wasn't dismissive. It was, I know I'm struggling with that. Because I want to understand it. But there's just things about it we're just not going to understand. Right? And sometimes we like to hide behind doing stuff. I'll just come to church. I'll go help in that nursery. I'll do usher stuff. I'll go do this. Meanwhile, God's like, that's really cool. I'd sure like to hang out with you. I'd sure like to get to know you. I'd sure like to spend time with you. I'd sure like to wreck your heart. I think one of the hardest, I don't know, maybe it's accepting this reality that God's not dwelling on our sins. I don't know. That's tough. How can he not be thinking about my mistakes?
Oh, I'm so glad he doesn't.
Right? Because it's like, by the way, that's where the enemy hangs out. He loves to torment you with, you're not good enough. And think about all these things. Yeah, but remember this. And to get you to know God can't be with you. He's too holy. God doesn't like to hang out with people like you. God doesn't associate with people like you. Those are all the enemy's words. And so sometimes it's like we can't get our head around it. Can you imagine how hard it is if I can't get my head around it, about how he feels about me? How do I convince you? How do we get your neighbor, your friends? How could you? Because you end up telling a story. Yeah, but, right? It's like you're leaving something out of the equation. Like, no, his love's amazing. Nope, he doesn't think about your sins. Nope, he's not, it's hard for us to say that if we don't believe it about ourselves. Right? But I looked this, when I thought about, okay, who is he, who am I? Just realizing I'm his son, I'm totally forgiven, known by him, loved by him. It's like this thing about now what? He says, my Holy Spirit's going to come live inside of you. Now, let's go be about doing your assignment. It's like, okay, what's my assignment, God? What's my mission? Here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Reading out of the Passion Translation. I read it earlier out of NIV. And God has made all things new. And he reconciled us to himself. And he gave us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world. Not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he's entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. So I had fun looking up this word, reconciliation. Sounds churchy, right? Sounds churchy, sounds complicated. Sounds like I need a bunch of theological, theology books around it. You know what the Aramaic translation of that is, in the Greek? Shepherding. Shepherding. Ministry of Reconciliation. He's called us to be shepherds, just like Jesus. Right? So think about it. What does a shepherd do? Right? Shepherd, he herds sheep. He doesn't turn his back on them, right? He doesn't abandon them. He protects them.
He goes and finds them.
Yeah, he, oh, my goodness, thank you. He goes and finds them, because when they wander, it's like, I'm going to, he'll lay his life down for them, okay? I mean, so, God
celebrates them.
He celebrates them. Oh, I love that. The shepherd. I have a pit. Do I still have that picture of the shepherd with the sheep? Where is that? I think it's in that room. Where he's looking at, he's holding the sheep and he's staring at this wolf like,
yeah.
Get out of here. I mean, the cross was a rescue mission, right? It's this ultimate loving act of a shepherd. And you're like, Jesus was a good shepherd. So what does that tell me about God the Father? He's a good shepherd. Because it says, Jesus, you want the Father's life? Look at Jesus. So more of 2 Corinthians 5, I'll read the next verse, verse 20. It says, we're ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him, right? He's like, hey, He's pleading with us. Be shepherded by him. Come and let him lead you. Let him take care of you. Let him love you. Let him find you. Let him celebrate you. But I love how the verse finishes. Now it says, now he pleads with us. Now you go do that too. That's your mission. It's the same mission that Jesus had, right? So what are we projecting in our mission on others? How are we doing with this from my lips to you with how he loves us? Right. To answer that thing, Danny, you know, talking about sin, it's not that sin isn't important. Right? But it's just that Jesus, God, seems to think that he, when he nailed it to the cross and he buried it with Jesus,
it makes it fall down the list of ways.
He took care of it.
He deprioritized
it. And he's forgotten about it ever since. Right? So, what God is remembering is that the Son removed everything. That's God's memory. What God's remembering, the Son took care of everything, right? So we could know him. Really, that's it. So to get everything out of your thinker, all that stuff. Nope, that's not a problem. Nope, that's not a problem. Nope, that's not a problem. Right? So that we can know and experience His love. That's the why. Right? And so love, God wants to use our lips, our stories, right? That, and that we would be crazy enough to proclaim this amazing love, like, and be even be willing to say, I don't get it, but it's amazing, it's phenomenal. I don't have a formula for it. And tell everybody what it's about. So, our primary mission. Yes, He says, lay your hands on the sick. Yes, go cast out demons. Yes, open blind eyes. He tells us to do that, right? But all that's in this story of us being conduits to God for reconciliation. All of it, right? Your job isn't to fix people. What? We're actually not really good at fixing people. It's God's job to fix people. He's really, really good at it.
Our job is to love people.
Yeah! Our job is like, He loves me, so I'm gonna love. I'm just this overflowing. I'm the cup overflowing. Remember Bill Johnson poured his water cup? It's like, He pours love into me, and that's all that comes out of me, is love for you. Right? And Paul says, I love this, right? 2 Corinthians 5, I'm probably reading. I read it twice, I'm going to read it a third time. God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. He gave us that same ministry of reconciliation. We're therefore His ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us. Imploring this on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Come let Him shepherd you. Come let him love you, right? So, 2 points. Take it away. It's like you're, of everything else we said, 2 things. God's not counting anything against you. Sin's been fixed. Eric, be prioritized. God is not counting your sins against you. Number one. What's He wanting? Restoration. You could say He wants His kids back. God wants His kids back. You know, as you look at this word reconciliation, what's the shepherd doing? It's like, just bring them back into favor. Restore, help restore relationships. Bring them back into favor, right? God wants His kids back. When Adam and Eve sinned, right, something terrible happened. It changed our perception of God. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden to change our perception of God. So now when we paint our picture of God, we're using the serpent's story to describe God. We're using the enemy's lies to describe God. So if you look at the whole canvas of Scripture, the whole from the creation of the world to now, right? We saw this, Jesus coming to say, wrong paintbrush. Right? That's why when Jesus shows up, it's like, now, look at me, because that has been a misrepresentation of the Father. Yeah. That's why we hide, because our painting says He's ashamed of us. Is a painting. Our painting says we should be guilty. Our painting says He'll never love me. Right? And so we created this based on our perception of Him. It puts us in hiding, right? And all of a sudden, Scripture says we made Him we've hid ourselves from him, and we've made him an enemy in our mind. We've made our him an enemy in our minds. It says that in Colossians. It says, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Evil behavior. Wait a minute. What does that mean, evil behavior? Well, the word here is sin. And you can go look it up, right? In the Greek, it was hamartia. And it just says, hey, you've wandered from your path. It means you've lost sight of your intended design. Right? And because of that error, right? I'm over here. I've headed down this wrong path, operating away from who he created me to be. And because of that, guess what? Mistakes. Errors in my judgment. Scripture says, I became corrupted. Guess what? I fell out of favor because I've been partaking of this other nature. I've been hanging out with this other nature. I believe that's what Scripture talks about us being lost. That's the picture. It's like the sheep wandering off. But the shepherd says, I'm going to go get that one. And he brings him back. What's he doing? Reconciling, restoring him, bringing him back into favor. Okay? Because when we go down that path, that lost path, what if I separated myself from him? Here's the shepherd's care, his wisdom, his love, his light. You can fill in the table list, couldn't you? Here's what I get hanging out with the shepherd. When I've done that path, I've separated myself from it. So now I'm sort of like, what do I do when I don't have him helping, guiding? Right? Well, you could say that's the rest of our story. That's what we've experienced. But look at this. That's what we've experienced today. We lost our way. Yay for God. What was his solution? Jesus, the shepherd. The redemptive solution was Jesus, the good shepherd. He leaves the 99, right? Goes and seeks out the one. What's his solution? The good father, remember the prodigal son? Right? Who, he comes home, the father fully restores him, celebrates their return. Actually got out of Jesus' way. and let us let him reconcile people back to himself. Right? It's like, let's stop trying to fix people. Let's stop heaping any guilt or shame on people. Let's invite him into love that's be transmitters of his love. We don't want them to go, I don't want nothing to do with this because your God's judgmental, your God is me. It's like, let's just love them. Trust Jesus. Trust Holy Spirit. What Jesus says, and by the way, go read it in John 16. When he says, it's better that I go. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And by the way, his assignment, it tells you. He's going to go after the wanderers. He's going to go and remind them who they are. He's going to kick the enemy in his teeth. By the way, he's tired of bullies. So he's going after the bullies and getting his kids back. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's the very next verse that he says, and there's more to the story, but it'd blow your mind if I told you. John 16, go read it today. Right? So, just a thought. Let's just trust Jesus to do it. Let's just invite Holy Spirit to be reconcilers to us this morning. So God, First, your love is so amazing. Thank you that you don't think of our sin, you don't consider it, you're not remembering it. You said as far as the east is from the west, that's how big it is, the division between your love and our sin. God, thank you for restoring us. Thank you for reconciling us. Thank you for your favor you've heaped and piled on top of us. That we pray that our lips would be used this week to be revealers, communicators, sharers of your great love. And for the places inside of us that still just don't get it, like those little nagging corners that are just kind of hiding under the rug, God, I just pull the carpet back, take out the garbage, sweep it all away. This week, God, I pray for revelation in our dreams, revelation just in our visions this week. God, revelations in our coffee times, in our quiet times, in our car driving times, that we just shock us again. Shock open our hearts. We ask for encounters with your love this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.